This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. Jimmy Buffett there singing about a cheeseburger in paradise. But a couple of weeks ago, scientists unveiled a burger not in paradise, but in a petri dish. Yes, it's the first test tube hamburger in the world. And when they introduced it to the world, my next guest was the first journalist to actually get a taste of that test tube hamburger. Josh Schoenwald, who is a journalist in Chicago and the author of Food of Tomorrow, also has a website called Taste of Tomorrow. Josh, welcome to America Weekend.
Happy to be here with you, Paul. And Paul, just one thing, the book is called The Taste of Tomorrow.
I apologize, The Taste of Tomorrow, matching the website, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah. How did you get an invitation to go taste the test tube hamburger?
Well, it all stems from research on my book. In 2009, I was working on The Taste of Tomorrow and became fascinated with this idea of lab-grown meat. At the time, the only place on the planet that was seriously trying to bring this idea into reality was happening in the Netherlands. And so I met with the team of researchers which were working on the project, which was at a very fetal stage at that point. And I met with Dr. Mark Post and had a chance to see what his work. At that point, it wasn't close to being at the point where you would have a chance to actually try something. But, you know, at some point this summer, about 2 months ago, I received an email from Dr. Post inviting me to have a chance to taste it, which is, you know, something I'd hoped to do in 2009. So I was very excited.
How do you grow a hamburger?
You grow a hamburger. Basically, it is a couple-step process. You know, they use the term cultured beef now because basically what you do is you take a biopsy. In this case, they took a part from a cow's shoulder. They took a portion of muscle cells. You put it in a petri dish, which is the culture, you know, a broth of things that, you know, just make cells grow, tendons grow, amino acids, proteins. You put it in that culture, and cells continue to grow and grow and grow. Now, one of the challenges is, you know, cows in a pasture, goats, pigs, you know, they move. You know, their muscle gets strengthened. So, you know, 4 years ago when I was talking with Dr. Post, one of the big challenges was how do we take these cells and give them some, you know, some muscle so that it doesn't have the texture of, say, tofu. Mm. So what they have to do is basically simulate movement. And, you know, they've been experimenting with a number of different ways of doing that. Sometimes electrostimulation, sometimes they create what they describe as almost like yoga for cells, where, you know, they try to contort the muscle tissue in such a way that it simulates the texture of, you know, conventionally raised meat.
All right, when it finally got down to the big day a couple of weeks ago, and there you are, and you've been hearing about this project for 4 years, let's cut to the chase. What does a test tube hamburger taste like?
It tasted like an extremely bland hamburger. It tasted like, you know, the texture was familiar, but what was missing was kind of the flavor, you know, and it's because it's incredibly lean. You know, it lacks fat. So, you know, one of the things that's important is they're going to, you know, start growing fat from a test tube. You know, it's actually, you know, part of the reason why, you know, they chose myself and another food taster from Austria is because, you know, they consider this a proof of concept. So this isn't ready for the food critics. This was kind of like, here we can build the foundation of a burger. And, you know, this is not, have you ever had a Boca burger or one of these mock meat burgers? You know, it's not very flavorful.
No.
And that's kind of where it is right now. The other thing that was strange about it, Paul, is this is probably the first time in 20 years that I had a hamburger without any condiments. So it was kind of this weird experience where I had, you know, here's this unsalted unpeppered, unketchuped piece of meat.
Mm-hmm.
That was part of the reason why it was a particularly bland bite.
And that leads to my next question. If it had something approaching the right texture, can we fix the taste by adding all of those things, some spices, maybe some more ketchup and lettuce and tomato and a bun and all the rest? Would it be passable as a meal?
I think it would. You know, I was asked that question, you know, after by a journalist from China. And I said, I described it as, well, this is basically like, you know, a protein version of rice or pasta. You know, in itself, it doesn't have the flavor to carry the day, but it has texture. And if you dazzle it with some cracked ground pepper, you put a jalapeno on top and a nice, you know, roll, yeah, it could definitely be something that would be pleasing to a lot of people, you know, particularly the type of person who's, you know, concerned about the way that their meat is raised.
You know, I heard a lot of people joking about, oh, this hamburger costs $300,000 to make. Who can afford that? And, of course, you know, this is the first one. If you go back and look at the first computer, it cost a lot
exactly.
more than that computer that we all carry around in our pockets now. So tell me what you see as the future for this kind of food technology.
Well, exactly. You know, Paul, the analogy that you just pointed out is exactly what Dr. Post says. You know, when people talk about the cost of the burger, that, you know, think back to a mainframe computer in the 1960s versus a cell phone of today. You know, and I think that, you know, this is very much the proof of concept. I just wanted to demonstrate to the world that this idea, which dates back to Winston Churchill, that Winston Churchill in the 1930s, could become a reality. Now, I think one of the most significant things about the tasting that I was a part of was the revelation of who was the anonymous funder, and that is the co-founder of Google, Sergey Brin. You know, and you know, one of the things that has always held this idea back is just resources. I mean, even Dr. Post admitted, you know, to date, it's a joke. You know, a handful of scientists in the Netherlands, a few graduate students. If someone like Sergey Brin, you know, driverless cars, creator of Google, you know, wants to invest tens of millions of dollars into taking this to the next step, into figuring out how to raise fat, into how to enhance the flavor and to scale it, you know, then we can see something, you know, that could be presented to a group of food critics. So I think it's a step forward. And hopefully, you know, it will excite people like Sergey Brin who, you know, do want to see it happen.
And if we do get to that point where there is funding and maybe even expand to chicken and other meats grown in the lab, what does that mean for world hunger?
Well, you know, one of the, you know, certainly the driver behind this research is idealistic. And if you trace this idea back to, you know, one of the first people behind it, Willem van Eelen in the Netherlands, you know, the story begins, he was a prisoner of war in a camp in Indonesia. And, you know, he envisioned this as an efficient way of feeding the world. I can't really speak to whether that this is that solution. What I do think, though, in terms of world hunger, I think that there are other more efficient ways of providing protein and resources to mass numbers of people. What I do think, though, is that this is one alternative to what is an environmentally unsustainable way of raising cheeseburgers. And I think that this is, among options, making a better plant-based burger, getting more people to have a vegetarian diet, you know, trying other sources of protein. I think that this is one idea on the table of a way of raising protein in a more efficient way that takes less land, water, and, you know, reduces the amount of greenhouse gas emissions that come from animal livestock.
Not only that, think of all the vegetarians of the world who won't eat beef because they don't want an animal killed for them to eat it. Now, you won't have to kill an animal. You can have a burger grown in a lab, and now vegetarians can finally go back and enjoy their own cheeseburger in paradise.
Exactly.
Josh Schoenwald is a Chicago journalist. has a website and a book called The Taste of Tomorrow, the first journalist to taste the test tube hamburger. Thanks so much for joining me here today. I appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks a lot, Paul.
Paul Harris. America Weekend.